I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend of League and League Cup action. Celtic and Aberdeen will meet in the semis after seeing off Falkirk and the Spartans. Motherwell and Rangers will play for a place in the final after they got beyond Dundee United in Dundee. And Stephen Naismith has been sacked by Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have League Cup semi-finalist Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
Well, Craig Levein was the first Premiership managerial casualty of the season last midweek, and as you say, Stephen Naismith gone after 8 straight defeats. I think it's Hearts' worst start to a campaign in 150 years. They've gone from being the best of the rest to the worst in the Premiership. And it's conclusive proof, Gordon. It all goes wrong when you let Andy Halliday go.
An Andy Halliday winner at Hampden to put Motherwell through and Rangers out. Just this, the stuff dreams are made of. I'm going to visualise it every night from now until then.
Yeah, well, listen, I had a great Friday night. I had an even better Saturday during the day. And after 70 minutes at Celtic Park, I thought I was going to have the best weekend ever. But that didn't quite materialise. But I'm still skipping in with a smile on my face. And it was good to see you with a smile on your face as well, Gordon.
Glad I made it on Friday night, I have to say. Anyway, 0141 951 1025. So much to get through. You could say that every Monday, but really, we've added a high profile managerial sacking onto the usual fun of the weekend as well. So if we go through it bit by bit, with the cup being the priority, Motherwell fans, Rangers fans, Celtic fans, Aberdeen fans, how do you feel about being through to the Cup semi-finals? Yesterday was quite a day, wasn't it? Falkirk fans, 5-2 in the end, but put up a very good showing. Producer John in here's a Falkirk fan, but he thinks everyone's been patronising by praising them too much for the performance. But we'll see how you feel on the phones. What did you make of it yesterday, Celtic fans? It was almost a fully changed team. How did those fringe players look? Who passed the test? Who did not? Let us know right now on 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, were you at the game? How did it feel to be back at Ibrox? And how much closer do you think the team's getting to putting on a level of performance that you are satisfied with? We heard from interim chairman John Gilligan today as well, so we'll let you hear what he had to say on Dave King and other topics. And where are you, Hearts fans? 8 games in a row with defeats. You finished third last season. 44 days between Stephen Naismith's new contract and the sacking. Was it the right decision? How did it get to this? And where does the club go from here? 0141 951 1025. 6:05. I've not even mentioned refereeing decisions from the weekend. I'm sure there were some of them as well, as there always is. So do get in touch with whatever it is that's on your mind right now, please. To put you in the mood, result of the weekend, Andy, that's the only one place to start. Come on, don't let me down.
It's Friday night under the lights at Fir Park. You know that I'll try and take any chance I get and give Motherwell any award on a Monday night. But listen, 4 wins in 5, but that was a big one on Friday night. It's obviously the first time that that Motherwell have been to Hampden in the cup competitions. 8 years, did I read? Is that right?
6 years?
Oh, it wasn't that big on Friday then, was it? But listen, fantastic occasion. I thought the atmosphere was absolutely excellent as well. But most importantly, result. So result of the week.
Well, pardon me for interrupting the Motherwell Appreciation Society. I'm going to go for St Mirren. You look at that 2-1 victory over Hearts. It cost Stephen Naismith his job. All the focus naturally has fallen on Hearts and their problems. But it was a much needed win for St Mirren and for Stephen Robinson. It was a long time coming. They thoroughly deserved it. And I think Stephen Robinson, assuming he doesn't go to Hearts, well, hopes and Milne can kick on now.
Goal of the weekend goes to...
I'm going to go down a division. I'm going to go to the Scottish Championship. So by that alone, it might give people a hint of what I'm going for. It's the old age of Lewis Stevenson. What a goal.
Wonderful,
I've gave a right few half volleys my goal of the week this season. I don't know if you've noticed that. But so aesthetically pleasing on the eye, especially
the camera,
angle's done him the world of good. Yep. All you see is his jersey, his squad number, and as soon as he lets loose with that left foot half volley, it was the way the ball's just curled into the top corner. Definitely goal of the weekend.
Okay.
My runner up was Nicky Clark's first free kick for St Johnstone at Ross County, and the winner was Nicky Clark's second free kick for St Johnstone at Ross County. He will be furious that he couldn't hang on for all 3 points. I think the second one went in 84 minutes, 3-1 up. You'd fancy him to get a much needed win for the caretaker manager Andy Kirk, and they blew it at the end, but not Nicky Clark's fault. Two very good free kicks. Remind me a bit about Lee Griffiths, Scotland against England.
Steady.
Not quite as glamorous.
Were you out on Friday night?
But decent.
Did you miss Zach Robinson and Louis Moult?
No, it really isn't the Motherwell Appreciation Society. No. By the way,
nearly getting that way.
Louis Moult shushing Gordon Duncan in the Motherwell fan.
It was disrespectful. Didn't want to celebrate properly against his former team.
Not sure about that. That's not the usual way when you're showing respect to your old team.
We'll get a mention for Lennon Miller's penalty at some point if we can. Howler of the weekend. This is where it gets more fun, more entertaining.
Well, listen, I'm going to leap into the Motherwell Appreciation Society.
Right, on you go.
Lucas Stevenson. Oh, that challenge for the Lennon Miller penalty. A minute to go. You've got back into a quarter final. You're looking at extra time. You're potentially penalties. It was a naive challenge, I thought.
Listen, I try and avoid my old club when it comes to the Howler, but after 8 weeks of potentially giving them it, I think now that Stephen Naismith's been relieved of his duties, I think the Howler's got to go to Hearts. I think 8 defeats on the bounce, not only the results, but I think the manner of a lot of the performances. I don't think you can look at any of the sort of games and feel they deserve more than what they've actually got. I think it's in both boxes. I think defensively they don't look like the team that conceded the second least amount of goals last season, and going forward, if they don't have Lorne Shanklin scoring these goals, who is going to produce elsewhere? So it's culminated in Stephen Naismith losing his job.
Howling Hearts, says Andy Halliday, and you've given us Lucas Stevenson. Let's go top performer then. We always finish on a positive. Top man, top performer, inside the box, outside the box, do what you wish.
On you go, Roger.
I was just going to say, the man who ruined Andy Halliday's weekend, Nicholas Coon. Brendan Rodgers had to turn to his Celtic bench. 2-1 down, on came the cavalry, and Nicholas Coon turned the game. 2 goals, 2 assists for Adam Ida, and Celtic through to a semi-final.
Well, I'll go with the guy that nearly gave him the Carlsberg of all weekends. I'm going to go with John McGlynn. It might surprise a few given the nature of, obviously, not only a defeat, but a 5-2 defeat in the end. But listen, Falkirk, League One, unbeaten champions, playing the style of football that they do. They've continued that into the Championship with 5 wins in 5. And then when they go to the Celtic Park, you do think there's going to be tweaks there. You do think there's going to be changes. Are they going to be more compact? Are they going to be hard to beat? From the first whistle, I thought Falkirk had a clear game plan to go and win the game. And I thought it was very refreshing to see. I thought it was a great game to watch. And for 70 minutes, it was almost a masterclass until the likes of Nicholas Coon and co. came on and completely changed the game for Celtic.
4 big cup quarterfinals. Good play, bad play, refereeing decisions involved in them all. Huge games in the league. Stephen Naismith sacked by Hearts. John Gilligan speaking to the wider media for the first time as Rangers chairman today. That should be enough to get us all going. 01419511025. Get your calls in right now, just like Barry in Coatbridge has done to kick things off. What have you got for us, Barry?
Before I get started, can Andy Halliday give a shout out to my pal Ian? He's a big Hearts fan.
You have to say hi to Ian.
Hi, Ian.
He's a big Andy Halliday Hearts fan, apparently. Sounds like a wind up, but I'm happy with that. Good either way.
Here we go.
I'm on to you, Barry.
I just want to talk about the game yesterday, the Celtic and Falkirk game. Mm-hmm. I was at it. Obviously, Falkirk, first half, absolutely bossing Celtic about. Obviously, when Celtic bring on the 4 players, the complexity of the game totally changed. It was just a brilliant performance at the end, near the end of the game by Celtic. So,
were you ever truly worried, Barry, or did you always just feel that if you needed to turn to the bench and it would have the desired effect?
I kind of had at 2-1, I was like, we've got this has got to be an embarrassment if we get beat. But when I had a bit of confidence at half time that it would get changed, you know what I mean, the score would change. But as soon as Ida scored that third goal, I think it 3-2, that was it. I think that's it, it's done.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, in the build up to the game, we all debated how many changes would there be.
Yeah.
And we said that when you went through them all one by one, it doesn't sound drastic. It doesn't sound drastic to bring in Anthony Ralston or Alex Valle, or certainly not Paolo Bernardo and so on. But just sometimes when you do them all at once, it just doesn't click. Is that what we saw for this?
I think
obvious credit to Falkirk as well, though.
Yeah, and listen, I think Brendan Rodgers said that himself. I think he said it was the most changes he'd ever made in a team. You understand why he did it. Celtic have a big schedule just now. They've just been through a big Champions League home win. They've now got a run, you know, away to St Johnson, away to Borussia Dortmund, away to Ross County. It is going to be physically stressful for the players, so it's understandable that for a home game against a Championship side, he did make that number of changes. But as he said himself, sometimes it just doesn't quite click. You know, there's a lot of guys in there who hadn't played together, hadn't played a lot of first team football, new faces, etc., and it didn't quite work. And he needed that quadruple substitution. I think Engels came on with Cowan, Greg Taylor came on as well, did Yang come on, and it just, they needed something like that just to shake themselves to life.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was. It's not only the amount of changes, it's the first competitive start for a number of players going into the game at the weekend. I look at obviously Stephen Welsh and Trusty Palmer and Alex Valle, and what it was an opportunity for these guys to state their claim and try and get into a Celtic team that hasn't really put a foot wrong this season. I don't think the majority of them done that. I think especially in the forward areas, I thought Lewis Palmer had a really, really poor game, never really offered much of the Celtic attack at all. I think Alex Valle showed flashes in possession, but I think defensively was a little bit suspect on a couple of occasions. Austin Trusty the same. And it needed the more regular stalwarts that we've talked about that hasn't really put a foot wrong this season to come on and completely change the game and take the game away from Falkirk. But I actually thought it was a great advert for Scottish football. I thought it was a really entertaining game to watch, and I thought Falkirk more than played their part in that.
On the positive side, Barry, has it shown how important players like Nicholas Kuhn are becoming this season?
Aye, definitely. I think it kind of showed possibly the weaker players within the squad, really, who obviously don't get that opportunity, have a chance to play in the first team squad, obviously first start, if you get what I mean.
Mm-hmm. So who didn't pass the test then?
I think Lewis Palmer, he definitely didn't pass the test. I'll go with Ralston, he was a bit dodgy. And a few other guys as well, but I'll just lay off it a wee bit. But do you know what I mean? Obviously making new changes, like Nicholas Kuhn coming on, Yang. As soon as the four changes came on, that was it. As soon as they came on, that was it. The complexity of change changed.
Are those fair criticisms, Roger? Because on one hand, if you are, I don't know, Alex Valle, Lewis Palmer, whoever, you might not get loads of chances, and however that chance comes along, you just need to take it. It's the harsh reality of football. But on the other hand, you're also not going into Celtic's strongest team. You know, if you're Alex Valle going in, you'd probably prefer that it was Dyson Maeda in front of you or whatever. So can we judge like that? Or,
well, listen, if you don't judge in performances like yesterday, how are you going to judge? You always say all you can do is give players a chance, and if the players take the chance, great. If they don't take the chance, they're under pressure. Look at Arne Engels. He's come in, hit the ground running. He's a first pick already. It's harsh on Paolo Bernardo. He's done nothing wrong, but Engels is better than him at the minute. It's the same. We talk about Nicholas Kuhn. At the start of the season, you know, I'm pretty sure Brendan Rodgers didn't know who was going to play in that right wing position. Would it be Forrest? Would it be Yang? But Nicholas Kuhn is probably the most improved player in the Celtic squad this season. He's taken his opportunity and he's in the team. So it's now going to be difficult for the Palmas and the Bernardos and the Alex Vies and the Austin Trusties to get themselves into the team. Trusty might get another chance if Cameron Carter-Vickers is toiling with that injury. He might come in alongside Scales. But it looks to me that the Celtic team that beat Slovan last midweek is clearly the Celtic first choice team, and the others might just need to be patient.
I'll go back to what we said before the game, because we can't lose sight of that. Everybody that was getting in touch, Andy, and all the pundits, we all said that Celtic could make that number of changes, though. So what does that tell you? Is there anything in there about the depth not quite being as good as people thought, or is it just too many at once?
I think it's a bit of both, but I think it's still, for me, too early to judge a few that will already be receiving criticism for their performances at the weekend. So in terms of the depth, I thought it was going to be a big afternoon for Alex Valle, regardless of the amount of changes in his first start, because at the end of the day, I think it's been a position in Celtic's team that Celtic fans have been asking for more competition for a long time. Someone that can really push Greg Taylor, because they don't feel that Bernabeu had done it previously. And listen, this is a guy that's back up to Alejandro Balde at Barcelona. He's made appearances for Barcelona first team. He's been on their bench this season. So when I seen Celtic made the loan signing, I thought it was a question is it going to oust Greg Taylor out of the team? Is it going to be that sort of rotation purposes? But such is the way Greg Taylor started the season, Alex Valle has to wait for opportunities like Saturday. And
I suppose it's worth bearing in mind that if in the very same game and in the very same conversation people are saying, look how good Nicholas Kuhn is, shouldn't have written him off at the start, then go and write other people off they then do what Nicholas Kuhn's
done. I'm sure Brendan Rodgers won't be writing anyone off at all. You need to remember, it's Alec Vine's first appearance for the club, it's Austin Trusty's first appearance for the club, it's all new to them. They probably got a shock at how good Falkirk were in that first half. But if they're needing to put on Greg Taylor as one of the substitutes for that last half hour, 25 minutes to win the game, they might be fast tracking that new contract for Greg Taylor.
Good point. Thank you to Barry. What about Stephen in Springboig? What did you take away from it, Stephen?
Hi, how are you doing, guys? All right?
Stephen.
Can I have a wee quick shout out to my wee pal Ross, who always gets binned into the kitchen to play darts because his bird won't let him watch the telly.
This is two calls, two shout outs. I'm starting to wonder if George Bowie would be better coming in here instead of me.
GBX.
What is going on here? His bird puts him, his lovely partner puts him in the kitchen, I think is more appropriate. Anyway, Stephen, well, please talk.
He's a lucky man if he's allowed a dartboard in the kitchen. I'm not allowed one.
He'll be listening to this call me for everything now. But I just want to say, I don't understand how Anthony Ralston and Stephen Welch still got a game for Celtic. They're nowhere near good enough, even for the B team. I don't understand how they can't go out. Now, if Alistair Johnston gets injured, Anthony Ralston's the cover, and that's never going to happen. If he was to play in the Champions League, he'll get done every week against anybody. Even a poor guy playing against him would run by him. He can't chase back. He's 100% effort, 0% talent.
That's Scotland's number one right back you're talking about currently.
I know that. I do understand that.
I'm only joking. Roger, the difference, I guess, with those two would be, unlike Alex Valle, they have played a lot for Celtic. So it's not like Stephen would be writing them off after seeing them once. But again, they don't play a lot of football. They're then coming in and having to impress. Is that fair? Is Stephen accurate in his criticisms?
Well, listen, Anthony Ralston's not as good as Alistair Johnston. It's as simple as that. That's why Alistair Johnston's the first choice and Anthony Ralston's the second choice. He's a capable player, Anthony Ralston. I think he's got 14 caps for Scotland now. He's played at the Euros. He's scored for his country. He's played in the Champions League for Celtic. Stephen made the point Ralston and Welsh shouldn't play again. Ralston and Welsh will be around the club. Celtic need to have a Scottish core. That's not a thing of choice. That's a thing of necessity because of UEFA rules. When Celtic name a 25-man squad for the Champions League, they need eight of them to be either home-produced by the club or home-produced in Scotland. That's why, they're always keeping hold of the Anthony Ralstons, the Stephen Welshes, the Scott Baines. That's why they're signing the likes of Luke McCown when Mikey Johnston goes out the door. So there will always be that core of Scottish players. The truth of the matter is, Stephen, sometimes the Scottish players aren't quite as good as the non-Scottish players. That's why Johnson's in ahead of Ralston, but I think Ralston got quite a long-term contract extension recently, as did Welsh. They'll be around for quite a while to come, even if they're not first picks.
I think everyone dreams of that like-for-like situation in your squad. Well, you know, managers always talk about having two players for every position and you want everybody the sort of same level of ability, but I think such is the progression, to be honest, Alistair Johnson over the last sort of 18 months or so, that I do think there is that just that little bit of disparity between him and Anthony Ralston. But listen, I do think it's harsh, what Stephen said. Anthony Ralston's actually made, you know, a good impact in a couple of games this season. Obviously scores off the bench against Kilmarnock. I actually thought he made a really good impact off the bench last week against Hearts. He plays a slip through ball down the left hand side of the box, it gets them the second goal within the game. But Stephen Welsh is what he is in the Celtic squad. He's arguably the fourth, fifth choice centre half. Like Roger said, he's there for homegrown reasons. But it was only, I think it was a year ago, that Celtic were dismissing bids from Italy for Stephen Welsh. But I don't think it's I don't think Stephen Welsh in particular is going to have that many appearances for Celtic this season.
Okay, 01419511025. If you've got more to add on that, please do. What about you Falkirk fans? Do you take a lot of heart? Are you proud of your team? I'm going to blame producer John for being negative. He says it's patronising, all this well done Falkirk stuff. He's a Falkirk fan, his words, not mine. Do you agree with that? Let us know on the phones. Celtic fans, we've not really discussed Adam Ida. He obviously scored as well, didn't he? Paolo Bernardo, is he showing he's closer to the starting 11 than maybe some of those that came in for the changes? What about Rangers fans? Where are you back at Ibrox? How was it being back? How much difference do you think it will make? What about the game itself? Is that a bit more like the performance you expect? There were one or two controversial refereeing moments in that game as well, so if you want to discuss them, now would be the perfect time. We'll speak to you next.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here looking back on the League Cup action from the weekend, the league action, the sacking of Stephen Naismith. We'll hear from John Gilligan, his first press conference as interim Rangers chairman. So there is a lot to get through. Any Motherwell Dundee United fans want to get in touch about Friday? You know, we'd welcome that, obviously. And here, a big game, of course, yesterday, which we did cover in the first part, but plenty more mileage left in Falkirk, giving Celtic a scare early on, and anything else at all, keep them coming. Anthony is on in Castlemilk. How are you, Anthony?
Hi, Pan. How are you doing?
Hi, not Anthony. Bad. What impact do you think being back at Ibrox had for your team, Anthony? Can this be the start of something?
I think it should be, actually, to be honest. But I watched the Celtic game, and I thought the substitutes have got, but they've got a lot more depth than Rangers, to be honest.
I don't think that will get any disagreements from you. Is the gap such at the moment that, you know, comparing the subs benches is sort of the bottom of Rangers' priorities right now?
Well, especially when Celtic's subs that came off the bench is actually their best 11 players, more so than their subs. But yeah, listen, I think there's a disparity in the starting 11. There's a disparity in the depth. There's a disparity sort of all over the place. So. I think on the basis of the weekend's game, I thought it was a good performance for Rangers. I think it was a bit of an upturn for what we've seen recently. I thought it was extremely comfortable, and of course, I think, you know, welcome to be back at Ibrox as well. And I think it was good to see a couple of new faces. I thought that Bajrami had a decent home debut. I thought he made a positive impact. Obviously, got the assist for the last goal, and probably had a couple more. So overall, I think it was just a a professional performance for Rangers.
Feels like that question in a nutshell probably sums up the predicament Rangers are in. If you keep bringing everything back to comparing it to Celtic, then there is not a lot to cheer about. But if you go in isolation about guys maybe getting better, returning to Ibrox, performances slightly improving, that's where you'll find your positives. But if you bring everything back to comparing it to Celtic's house, then
no, if you want me to bring it back to the Old Firm game, there's not a single Rangers player we get in the Celtic team. So forget it. Don't compare and contrast. Rangers, as we said it last week, Rangers just need to forget about that and just continue baby steps beating the other teams. They beat Dundee United at Tannadice. They beat Dundee quite convincingly at Ibrox at the weekend. They need to forget all about Celtic and just beat the other teams until such times as they're actually faced with Celtic again, whether it's at Ibrox at New Year, whether it's maybe at Hampden in a Premier Sports Cup final in December. We don't know that, but Philip Clement just needs to look at what's directly in front of him just now. The next task, of course, is Malmo in the Europa League opener on Thursday night. After that, it's Hibs on Sunday. So since they're beating at Celtic Park, they've actually looked okay. And as Andy said, some of the new signings look okay. Bajrami, lovely ball in for Desser's second goal at the weekend. And they're back at Ibrox. I think Chris Boyd said to me earlier today, you know, they're back at Ibrox when it's penalty Rangers. And
oh, look at you blaming him for that line, for that joke, passing it off as his.
It's okay, it's out already. It's out already. He's been heard saying it.
Anthony, you finding that hard then to find some positives? You find yourself coming back to the comparison, or was it a good bit better at the weekend?
No, not at all. What I'm trying to say is that Celtic got a lot more experienced players. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not about the teams. It's about the experience they've got and strength and depth. You know, we're buying young players.
I get that. But I suppose if you're looking at the, it's about the what's next? What's round the corner? That's just not going to be addressed. It's just not going to be changed anytime soon. And yeah, Rangers have signed young players, so mm-hmm. they don't become experienced within a couple of weeks. What was better about the performance? You could make a case of Dundee dropped off a bit in recent weeks. I remember when this draw was made, you were looking at still maybe the Hampden factor. You were looking at Dundee with Luke McCowan, and they were flat. It felt like when the draw was made, this could have been a real, you know, tricky one, and it just wasn't.
No, it wasn't. I think what improved, to be honest with you, for a start, Rangers getting a clean sheet is welcoming. Obviously off the back of Dundee United last week as well, so that's two in a row now. But defensively, I think they've looked a bit suspect at times this season. But I thought, other than, you know, a Simon Murray chance that certainly made the game a lot more interesting to equalise at the point in time, I'm sure it was. I don't think Dundee offered all that much going forward. And then I think, in an attacking sense, I know that Philip Clement sort of mentioned it in his post-match, it could have been a lot more convincing when it was. I think if they were a bit more clinical in certain areas of the pitch, you know, we almost say this every week, it's, listen, Desser's goal return is always impressive, but, you know, you can always sort of speculate what he could actually hit if he was a wee bit more clinical at times. And I think Rangers, given the basis of the chances that they had, I don't think you'd be all that surprised if it finished 4-5 or even the Ross County 6 that they hit the other week.
I like Dundee. I've seen a lot of Dundee. I think they're a really good team. I've been really surprised at how much they've missed Luke McCowan. Now, we all know Luke McCowan's a very good player. If he hadn't been Celtic, wouldn't have paid £1 million for him. I thought Dundee would slot somebody in there because I like Lyle Cameron, I like Mo Salah, but they've really struggled. And Tony Docherty, I think, a home game against Aberdeen at the weekend, which will not be easy. He needs to snap them out of this sort of post-McCowan slump.
Should Rangers have got a penalty before the one they got, Anthony? I saw a bit of debate about that one over the weekend.
I don't think so. To be honest, I don't think so. The one they got awarded,
yes. Well, fair enough. I think we spoke before, you saw them the other way around. Anthony thought the one that was given was the right call, not so convinced by the other.
I completely agree with Anthony. Oh, do you? I completely agree with the referee, yeah.
Interesting. Tell me why, because I'm not saying I disagree.
I didn't think there was quite enough contact in it, where the ball was going, where the players were. I wasn't convinced at all. But when you see, actually, even before the ref blew the whistle, when you're watching it on Saturday night, as you see them, you think, that's a penalty.
I thought they were both penalties. I actually thought the first one, to me, there was a lot more grappling involved. There was a lot more shot pulling involved. I get, you know, Roger's point about, know, the vicinity where the ball was going, but it looked to me as if it was certainly going where you could argue that Dessers would get it on the end of the first one. The second one I thought was a little bit more softer. I still think it was a penalty. I think Mo Salah, I mean, to get yourself in the position to be obviously not goal side, but then run that risk with how much sort of both arms he's got round Dessers and certainly impeded them to then go and make contact with the ball. But to be honest, I thought both of them were penalties.
Handball has had the headlines as being the real bin fire of football decisions over the last couple of years, but actually pulling in the box is up there because it is difficult because there's so much of it goes on. I think everybody knows you're just never penalising every pull or every hold.
No.
So they look for those sort of checklists of, you know, like we said, is that player getting on the end of the ball? Does the hold, does the pull stop that player getting there? Is the holding sustained? You know, we saw that in the English Premier League at the weekend. It's like you're allowed to hold people as long as you let go within a certain time. What else would, you know,
I've heard the distance of the shirt pull.
Well, again, that's a shirt pull versus like the hands, but you're right. If someone, because we saw there was a couple of high profile examples last year involving Conor Goldson, wasn't there?
Yeah.
When people felt it went down easily, but they were ones where he was almost away from a player and then the player has got this outstretched hand.
Length,
and those are the ones the ref look for. So you felt the second one ticked those boxes but not the first?
Yeah.
And you're the opposite way, or certainly in fact you think both?
I think both, yeah.
And also if you're Mo Salah as well and you've got away with one in the first half, what are you thinking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was VAR in that game, wasn't there?
Yep.
Yeah, well, that adds to it, I suppose, doesn't it? Let's hear from Philippe Clement. He says being back at Ibrox is huge. However, he felt the win should have been even more emphatic.
You cannot describe that. I said it this week. It felt like 10 years, and that feeling I had. So we've been playing like 2-3 months, so only away games. So that's really, really difficult as a team. So we were super happy to be back, and I'm happy also that the players could give this performance also, because we wanted to give the fans something special. But, of course, we should have scored maybe 6 or 7 today, and to be more clinical in that way, we need to keep on working on that.
The venue is one of these things you can't really prove either way. How detrimental was Hampden? How beneficial will Ibrox be? Very difficult to prove, Andy, but I suppose what Rangers need is just one less distraction, one less talking point away from actually how the team's performing.
Yeah, and listen, I think who it helps the most is the fans. I think the fans want to be back at their home stadium. But listen, in terms of what we've seen on the pitch, how much has it affected Rangers? For me, I'm not all that sure, but I'm sure they'll be relieved that it's all done and dusted and they're back at Ibrox now.
Right, let's go back to the phones on 01419511025. If you want to get your thoughts in, you can do right now. You can tweet us at ClydeSSB. Let's hear from Stuart, who's on the other line. How are you, Stuart?
All right, how are you, lad? All right.
Hey, Stuart.
What have you got for us?
I think the incoming state chairman at that, John Gilligan, I think he's jumped the gun a bit there. I think John Gilligan has jumped the gun saying that he shouldn't be letting Dave King come over and have his say.
Yeah. Let's play the clip since you brought it up. I would have played it at some point, but since you brought it up, just in case people don't know what Stuart means, John Gilligan, interim chairman of Rangers, had a press conference today, asked about various topics, but most notably, I think, the theme that ran through it was Dave King, because he's had a lot to say. John Gilligan wants Dave King to stop his public criticism of the board, and he thinks a return for Dave King is unrealistic.
My view is it's a wee bit unrealistic, because I mean, Dave's a real businessman. He knows how shareholdings work, and he's a 15% shareholder. The other directors are 10, 12, 13% shareholders. It's unrealistic, you know. I'm trying to think, has any director or any person at the club said anything about Dave? No. Have they responded publicly to enter a negotiation? No. Will I ever say anything bad about Dave? No. So in answer to your question, do I wish he would stop? Yes. Yes. I just say, Dave, you know, please, you know, take it below the radar. Behave like a proper shareholder. Don't do what you're doing. But it's just a shame, you know, because he's a great character and he's a massive influence in the club at the time, and I'll always respect that.
What don't you like about it, Stuart?
I think he's wrong. He jumped the gun too quick. All Dave King wants to do is to get Rangers investment, which I think is still going to happen. There's too much talk in the last 3 or 4 months. I think Dave King's got a... I think it's people waiting to come in. He's going to come in and he's going to approach the board with us. He was talking about 50 million. He must be going to come over. He's not going to come over for nothing for 2 years if he wants to come over for 2 years. I mean, there must be something... The board don't want him to come in, but he's got to say, they've got to let him in to see what he's going to bring to the club. It could be massive, it could be just small, but they've got to give this guy a chance. He's done it before.
I remember interviewing Dave King for Super Scoreboard at Central Park, Cowdenbeath. It was Rangers' first game in 2015 after Dave King, Paul Murray and John Gilligan came in and took the club over. So that's 9 years. Dave King has been involved with Rangers again, having been involved on many, many years ago, but in his second spell, 9 years. I don't see what Dave King can bring to the table today or tomorrow that, you know, he couldn't have brought 6 months ago or 12 months or 18 months ago. Not that long ago, he was trying to sell his shares to Club 1872. And now suddenly he's demanding he wants an EGM and he wants to come back as chairman. If Dave King had investors tucked away behind him, He needs to tell people about it. I agree with John Gilligan. I don't think Dave King has anything fresh to offer Rangers at the minute. I think Dave King needs to allow the people at the club, John Gilligan, to get on, to find a permanent chairman, to find a permanent chief executive, to find a new executive structure to support the football department and every other department, and allow those people, that new executive, to go and find fresh investment. Because unless Dave King is hiding something, you know, hiding something up his sleeve, I can't see that Dave King's bringing any fresh investment to the club.
You missed a bit of debate about Rangers boardroom politics.
It's been quiet. It's been a while. But listen, no, in terms of Stuart saying jumping the gun for what? My understanding is John Gilligan's just asked Dave King to stop the public criticism, which I completely agree with. John Gilligan used the words under the radar. If Dave King brought 50 million worth of investments under the radar to John Gilligan, every shareholder,
I don't think they would say no.
I think they will sit and listen to what he's going to say. So I don't think he's banishing any potential talks with Dave King with any incoming investment or what, but the public criticism's helping no one.
Thank you very much to Stuart, 0141 951 1025. It's a good time to join in. Let me tell you about this first, though. Monday. You're on a bit of a come down after the weekend. You're at your work. It's starting to get a bit cold. The heating's went on over the weekend. You get the call and it's worth 160 grand. That's how Matt felt at his work. Unbelievable. He's been playing for ages, usual, never thinking he would win. He's now got enough cash for a house deposit and loads of other stuff to start his new life with. And you could get a bit of that 170 grand tomorrow when we make the next call. You need to be in the draw though, so text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523 and the calls are charged at the standard rate. It is over 18s only and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are online. If you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £170,000. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
League Cup semi-finalist Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here on 0141 951 1025. I've still not got to the bottom of it though. Friday night, I told the story on Saturday. It was mobbed, 8,300. Brilliant. I mean, what a community.
8,700.
Maybe it was that.
It should have been 8,701. But there was a local resident chose not to attend the fixture.
He still claims he was there, right? But I scoured.
Gordon, I could claim I was there. It doesn't mean I was actually there.
For him.
Mr. Duncan made it, didn't you?
Ran up the hill. I heard Zach Robinson's goal go in as I was outside, which was quite demoralising. I saw your mum, actually.
Did you?
She was excited at full time.
She's
always there, eh?
Big Mother fan.
I noticed that. I see her quite a lot, but she was buzzing at full time, understandably. But,
Mr. Dale didn't make the journey.
He says he did, but I just don't believe him. It's something about it just doesn't quite sit right with me. But anyway, let's bring in Mark, who I think is on a similar theme that we can relate to that. semi-final coming up. Mark, how are you?
How are we doing, Gordon? All right, mate?
Not bad, not bad. What are you thinking?
One about the, obviously, the semi-final getting playing at Hamden. I think it's going to be a bit of an advantage for Rangers. Obviously, I'm a Rangers supporter, so I'm not really bothered, but all these new boys that have started, obviously, they get a bit of taste for Hamden playing at home as such, so I
good
think
point.
It's going to benefit.
I agree. Let's get that moved. We can't have Vaclav Černý's used to it, but Apostolos Stamatolopoulos went off injured when he played there that one time. I like it. So you think that's an advantage to Rangers, Mark?
So what would have happened then if Ibrox wasn't ready for an hour, month or so, and then it got to the final and it was Rangers Celtic? Would they all been complaining that Rangers are playing at home?
No, I think you've called this wrong. Motherwell have got a midfielder who scored in the Hampden Cup final. I don't remember Conor Barn or Mo Diamandé doing that.
Have you seen his Hampden Cup final record?
Oh, it's not great.
That might be worth bringing up.
It's not great. Semi-final record's good.
Semi-final record's magnificent, more importantly. It's what happens thereafter. I don't know. I mean, generally, when you come up against Rangers or Celtic, they've got more experience of Hampden than you anyway. Not you personally, but, you know, other teams. I like how Mark's... he's admitting that it doesn't bother him because he's a Rangers fan.
Yeah.
It will not be the opposite. Rangers fans not be sick of Hampden already.
It's funny because I got a lot of their questions last week. Do you worry about the lack of experience of the younger players that Motherwell have got in these big quarter-final games? And saying, I'm not to worry about nothing to worry about at all. Obviously showed that on Friday night. I don't think the semi-final is going to be any different. Listen, you're going to go into the game with Rangers as big favourites, regardless of it being...
I did notice that.
Part of Ibrox or Hampden.
That didn't go under the radar, Roger. Big game. They've got the CEO out putting leaflets through doors, trying to get people along, trying to talk it up. Who's the biggest mouthpiece in the team? Who will do the press that day?
Yep.
The professional.
Oh, absolutely.
I knew it. I just thought he's the man for
had
the big
to be one of the old timers. It was either Halliday, McGinn, or O'Donnell. One of the old timers. Get them out. Get it talked up. Get the home fans in. Cheer them into the semi final.
There's only one professional on that list, though.
Me.
One of my mates actually texted and said it was the best thing he's done. Well, my little badge on his chest was that press conference. No, I think it was a compliment, I think, sort of.
Very harsh.
But I tell you what, you're talking about experience going into these games. Coolest man in the stadium in the 90th minute. I bet he was cooler than you in the stands watching it.
I was not in a good place at that, I have to say. Mark, the competition, though, right? Let's move aside from whether Rangers are benefiting from it being at Hampden or not. It is the one that you won last season. How important does this competition become now you're at the semi stage?
Well, obviously we're like after winning start as we done the last season and winning the trophy again, but can only breed confidence, doesn't it, for the younger players that are just starting out at Ibrox. Hopefully I'll give them a taste for the rest of the season.
And as much as I hope this comes back to bite both sides, I think mostly Rangers, because Celtic have the dominance in the fixture, Rangers are looking to avoid Celtic at that stage. That's just the harsh reality of it.
I think you look at the start of the season, everyone was looking to avoid Celtic. So Rangers would be happy, Motherwell would be happy, and Aberdeen only got on with it.
That fair? I mean, there's not much debate to be had there, is there?
Well, at the end of the day, if you want to go and win the tournament, chances are you probably need to beat Celtic. I know that didn't quite materialise for Rangers last year, but it certainly looks as if it could potentially be that way inclined with the semi-final stage that we're at. So I think the position that we're in, like we said, first time getting to the semi-final in 6 years, we'd just welcome whoever we're up against. Coincides that you get Rangers in the semi.
And Motherwell won the last League Cup semi-final against Rangers at Hampden.
Louis Malt. That's why he didn't celebrate the other night. He's respectful.
Oh, no.
He's respectful.
Shushing Gordon Duncan. Shushing Gordon Duncan.
Celebrated all right.
Someone suggested that Lennon Miller was actually thinking about dinking that penalty, and I have to say that would have tipped my already increased heart rate over the edge.
Even if that went in, I don't know if I'd be happy with that at that stage. It's such a game.
I actually was surprised he took the penalty. Has he been the designated penalty taker all season?
Yeah.
Well, took two in the League Cup, was it, or one in the League Cup?
Yeah. Which I'm quite happy with.
I'm not actually sure who I thought was going to take it, but I was quite surprised when Lennon stood up to take it.
Pre-season and League Cup, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that Clyde was
game, the top corner
that
one.
That was always going to be the chat. There was another friendly game. I think it was against Linlithgow maybe that he took as well, scored. But yeah. People always, you know, point to your strikers. I think the most important attributes for a penalty is composure and technique. And if I'm picking anyone in the squad that's got both of them, I'm picking Lennon, so... I'm glad he took it, obviously.
And did you all celebrate well on Saturday? A Saturday
we
off?
Did. Had a nice wee team day out, first of the season.
Bowling.
When you've got 17 new players, then sometimes that's needed, but it was good. It certainly wasn't bowling, that's for sure.
What? I was going to ask, what'd you do?
We went to a lovely establishment in the city centre.
And then another one, and another one, and another one.
Watched the football, watched plenty of football actually. Yeah, but it was good. Good we did.
Love to see you go bowling. How'd you get a Postolos, Stamatolopoulos up on that board? Up in that board.
That's a good point. Thank you very much to Mark on the line. Usual number if you want to join in. Plenty more time. We're here until 8 o'clock to discuss the League Cup semi-finals. What about the league? Hearts are looking for a new manager. That is a big story for sure. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Surely.
Today's got
surely
to
tonight
the
is
day.
The night. It is the 23rd of September. I know he went to the Sun or wherever he went on holiday, but still, Roger Hanna's -2 handicap has not been used because it is ahead every week. Surely.
The coin of justice will prevail.
What about last week?
Last week, by the way, last week.
Blockbuster.
I mean, you can have Craig Levein sacked, you can have Stephen Naismith sacked, you can have Celtic scoring 5 in the Champions League, you can have Rangers going back to Ibrox. The only story last week, Gordon DL, 10 out of 10, Hugh Keevans, 10 out of 10. Astonishing. And then they went head to head in the show while you were in the pub, Andy, and they were as bad as they normally
were. Yeah, we put them head to head on Saturday. They were both rotten, and Hugh pipped it in the tiebreaker. Gordon pipped it in the tiebreaker.
No, Hugh won it in the tiebreaker. By the way, possibly the worst tiebreaker ever as well.
It was like the most, the number of goals that Scotland men's team have scored in their entire history.
150 years.
The winner was 1,000 out.
1,000?
1,000 out. That's the standard.
Do you know what I was just thinking there? So seeing the Clyde One pundits table, technically Roger Hanna is bottom.
Well, yeah, I would have to say 0% because he's never played. Anyway, get your calls in if you want to take these on 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 01419511025. That's the number you need. And you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. If you're just joining us, we kicked off looking back on Celtic's 5-2 win against Falkirk. I think it had its worries for you Celtic fans. I'm sure you would admit. How impressive were Falkirk? You can get in touch and let us know what sort of worked and what didn't with the squad rotation. That was the theme of the discussion. Plenty more time for that. Rangers fans were asking you how it was to be back at Ibrox. We heard a bit from John Gilligan asking Dave King to be quiet, if you like, and let them get on with things, not have it all play out in the public eye. So any thoughts there, get them in. This is a perfect chance for you Hearts fans. This is a big story, it's a big deal. We've got Stephen Naismith, 8 consecutive defeats, a defeat in Paisley, and he is no longer the Hearts manager. Was it the right decision? Where has it gone wrong? And who next? Those would be the main themes you would imagine. So again, 01419511025. Any Motherwell fans want to quiz Andy Halliday on quite how they celebrated that win on Friday night? You're more than welcome, and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Roger Hanna has been placed on -2 since the start of the season, and he has not once been called into action. The coin has just been your friend so far.
It's
this
the coin
season.
Of justice. The coin knows this is wrong.
I might bring in a coin for you every Monday.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't. I need to analyse the coin that you use.
I bet he's been practicing though.
His head heavy.
I bet he's been practicing. Listening at home in the mirror, just seeing how he would do if he was on -2 on the night. Feel confident if it was to be you?
No.
I think it's all about speed for the contestant. That's what I would, that would be my advice.
I think if a contestant's half decent, you've no chance.
Exactly. Look at some of the scores last week. When Daz won 7-5 before he went on to get the 10 out of 10.
If Gordon Dale got 7 in 30 seconds, you're getting 7, to be fair.
Well, right, let's find out tonight. Shea is in Pollock. How are you, Shea?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. Thank you. Not bad. You ever played before?
No, just along at home, but no.
It'd be good to be the first person to take on Roger Hanna on -2, wouldn't it?
Aye.
Right, let's see what we can. Come on. Do not disappoint us, coin. Heads, it's come Andy on. Halliday. Tails, it's Roger Hanna. You must be joking me.
No, Gordon, Gordon, stop it.
The coin of
just
justice.
Just get on, it's Tails.
I'm too honest for that. Next week I might though. How many is that?
I've lost count.
7 Mondays in a row?
I'm on that.
This is a disgrace. I'm sick of this.
The coin's not really
beat the pundit anymore.
The coin has spoken.
I must just toss in a certain way.
Oh,
that must be what it is. Anyway, Shay, I'm sorry. You need to play Andy Halliday, I'm afraid, Shay. So we'll give him some greatest hits radio. And I'm sure you know the drill. But 30 seconds, just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, good man then. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Name any player that got a double in the League Cup at the weekend. How many league goals has St Mirren's Toyosi Olasanya got this season?
6.
Who opened the scoring for Falkirk yesterday?
McIver.
John Paul Young's Love Is In The Air has been adopted by which Scottish football club's fans?
Come on.
Name any of the English clubs Stephen Naismith has played for.
Everton.
Which Scottish Championship side have a saltire on their badge?
United.
Who's got more Celtic appearances, Scott Bain or Vasilius Barkas?
Barkas.
Okay, Andy Halliday, can you hear us? Are you back? Are you with us?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Just to Andy, right.
That was quick.
Wasn't it? Yeah. I think so.
She's obviously flying through the answers.
How would that matter? It's 30 seconds, no matter how fast he goes.
I just felt a lot quicker.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Name any player that got a double in the League Cup at the weekend.
Dessers.
How many league goals has Toyosi Olasanya scored this season?
4.
St Mirren striker. Who opened the scoring for Falkirk yesterday?
Oh, McIver.
John Paul Young's Love Is In The Air has been adopted by which Scottish football club's fans?
Motherwell.
Name any of the English clubs that Stephen Naismith has played for.
Everton.
Which Scottish Championship side have a saltire on their badge?
Aberoff.
Who's played more games for Celtic, Scott Bain or Vasilius Barkas? Shay, what do you think?
I think it's tight.
I think it could be tight. Let's go through them. Name any player that's got a double in the League Cup at the weekend. You had Ida, Kuhn or Dessers. You both got it, 1-1. Toyosi Olasanya has got 4 on the nose. Andy Halliday, 2-1 up. Ross McKeever scored for Falkirk. What a goal it was, by the way.
Great strike.
It was excellent, wasn't it?
Yeah, great strike.
I don't really know what I mean by this, and someone will probably disprove me. It felt like the type, you don't see that type of strike very often.
Yeah.
That'd be fair.
Yeah.
You know, the way it's, just the way it felt to him, it didn't
and
really
almost
think
surprised
he
hits it.
Yeah. Didn't really think he was going to take it on, but anyway. 3-2 to Andy Halliday. You obviously didn't hear it on Friday night. They maybe didn't give you too much trouble with it, but sorry. Dundee United, his Love Is In The Air.
Is it?
I think they did sing it at one point, but you'd have been focused on the job. Shay did not get it. You still lead by 1. You both got the Stephen A. Smith question, Everton or Norwich. So Andy still leads by 1. Air United, Shay.
Yep.
He got it. Equaliser.
Yeah, well done,
for Shay. Are they the only club? That's the one that worries me, because I know Air do, and I'm just waiting on some smart you-know-what pop up and telling me there's a tiny salt tire on someone else's. But we're level going in to the 50-50 question. You could not ask for more than this. Who's got more appearances for Celtic, Scott Bain or Vasilius Barkas? Andy went Bain, she went Barkas. And it's Scott Bain. Oh, I'm devastated for you, Shay. That is the closest anyone has run Andy Halliday in a long time. Hard lines.
Cool.
Is your team, Shay? Are you a Celtic fan?
I'm a Celtic man, yeah.
What did you make of yesterday?
Good after 70 minutes.
I suppose.
Before that, I think when you change up the full back 4, and then you're not going to expect the same stability at the back. So I think that was more the problem.
So not really bothered. You don't see it as being like proof that some of the fringe players are not up to it or anything like that. You don't think it's as serious as that?
I think if we don't have Vickers in the defence, then we've got a problem in defence. But other than that, no, it wouldn't be too much of a worry for me.
You spoiled a bit in the sense that not everyone's Arnie Ingles who's going to come in and look like he's played 200 games. Yeah. It, you know, it just doesn't always work that way. Is that the kind of the way it has to be looked upon, even though some people do it?
Of course it does. Of course it does. And, you know, that when you make 8 changes, you are weakening the side. You're putting yourself at greater risk than you would do if you played the full team. But it's a risk and reward strategy. Brendan Rodgers wanted to rest as many of the first team as he could to get through. And he's got through. He needed the cavalry in the last half hour. Kuhn, Taylor, Engels coming on, Yang coming on, but they've got it through. And it's job done for Brendan Rodgers.
See, when you played, or still currently, Andy, if there ever is a situation where you're one of the players that's looking for a chance to go in, but it is in a fully changed team, did that feel harder? Does it feel like you've been hard done by a bit? You know, you'd like to be the one change that goes into the fully flying, confident version.
It's funny because I was actually talking about that. I was telling a story about this today. I only remember being involved in something like that once. I don't know if you remember, it was 2 or 3 years ago. I was at Hearts. We'd played in Europe on the Thursday and we'd went to Celtic Park that Sunday and made 10 changes. And it was a case, I'm not going to lie, it was a case where the boys were like, this could be a hiding to nothing here, because it was boys, you're talking about boys' first start of the season. Ross Stewart, good friend of mine, had only made, I think it was 3 or 4 appearances for Hearts. He was in goals. There was 2 or 3 bodies that had just came back from injury, hadn't played football for a long time. And we actually played very, very well. I think it was 1-0 up to...
I do remember that.
1-0 maybe up to the last sort of 5 minutes or so, and I think we got a red card and it finished 2-0 in the end of the day. So that's the only real experience I've had of it. But I don't know if that was just a case of you don't have a lot of faith going into the game with the amount of changes you've made, and you know, you almost just sort of play without any sort of fear and just full of freedom. So that's the only experience I've had of it. But I can't imagine it would be easy for any sort of cohesion in the team.
Here's what Brendan Rodgers made of the game itself, the performance.
It was a little bit disconnected for the first 60 minutes, and that's on me. It's not on the players. When you make eight changes like that, then I wanted to get some players in and playing in the stadium and getting the first sort of minutes of this season playing in with the team. In some moments we looked good, and in other moments just that little bit of hesitancy, and that comes from just not playing so much. But we knew we always had the bench to pull on if we needed, especially in that last 30 minutes. It's been a brilliant week for us, scoring goals, playing attacking football, being really creative, and finishing it off with a team that I knew we were going to need energy against, because they play really, really well.
Thank you to Shea. A good effort, really good effort on Beat the Pundit, but not enough. Shea's like the Falkirk, really, in this equation. Where it's like you're patting Shea in the head and saying, well done, but you couldn't get the better of Andy Halliday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is, listen, there's a
was
good
one?
I'm not sure. I would have done nicely, minus two.
You would have got there.
You would have got all them right, no?
No, I think I
would. You have fallen for the Barkas?
No, but I don't think I got Olasanya. I actually thought he'd scored more.
What a season he's having.
Yeah, he's doing very well.
Any St Mirren really fans really well. Want to get in touch, because I know
he's goal well on Saturday.
This is, and what a smooth transition this is going to be, because it was the goal that essentially ended Stephen Naismith's reign as Hearts manager. So let's look at that. Is it the right decision? Is it the right time? Where's it gone wrong? Who next? Those are the kind of obvious themes to work through. There is some weird quirk of fate here that Hearts managers always lose their job after losing to St Mirren.
It's incredible.
Five of the last 8 or something, was it? It's
crazy. Nice Hearts appointment. You're no well when you go to St Mirren.
Who would have thought, after finishing third comfortably last season, after qualifying for the conference, who would have thought Stephen Naismith by the middle of September would be out of a job?
I think we know one.
Listen, I'll get to that. Don't you spoil it. Don't spoil it for now. But I'm going to speak to some Hearts fans in just a second. You two to kick us off. I said the starting point is always like, what did you make of it? Did it surprise you? Was it the right decision?
I thought after the Dundee United game at home, I was half expecting to wake up on Monday morning and see a statement for Hearts Football Club saying that Stephen Smith would have been relieved of his duties, and then obviously he's been given the Celtic game at Celtic Park, which is obviously a really difficult game, and then he's also been given the St Mirren game at the weekend there. And I think after that result, certainly not surprised.
There's always a tipping point. You wonder if a tipping point, 6 defeats, 7 defeats, 8 defeats, 9 defeats, whatever. Saturday was clearly the tipping point for the Hearts board. If you
understandable for you though, you don't grumble with it, or
listen, if you, it doesn't matter if you're manager of Hearts or County Hearts, if you lose 8 in the trot, you know there's a chance you're going to go. You stretch it into the back end of last season, I think it's 1-1-15 for Hearts, and they're not getting any better. Andy mentioned the Dundee United game. You remember the one at Dens on the Saturday evening? There was Dundee had a goal disallowed. Dundee would have been 4-0 up on Hearts if the goal had been allowed. And there's no sign of improvement. Shanklin's not scoring goals. The defence can't keep the opposition out. There's no creativity in the midfield. None of the summer signings have hit the ground running. Some of the summer signings have had to be put back out the squad because they're clearly not up to it. I wish Stephen Naismith had been a success. I like him. He was a good player. He's a workaholic. He is. He eats, drinks, and sleeps football. I hope he gets back in and has a good career as a coach. But I'm afraid the Hearts board really didn't have any other option.
Now let's go to the phones. Hearts fans, if you want to get in touch, please do. Now is the perfect time. Liam is on. Liam's on the This Is My Story podcast. Liam, right call. Any doubt about it for you?
No, I think you've just nailed it. My only query would be, for me, it should have been after the Dundee United game, because you give the man that comes in the opportunity to work in the international break to fix all of the glaring deficiencies of the squad. I don't know what the tipping point was, what was the differentiator from what they saw on Saturday, for what we've seen at Celtic Park, for what we've seen at home at Dundee United, what we've seen away at Dundee, what we've seen away at Motherwell. What was it that we suddenly went, oh, wait a minute, this isn't working, when it's been pretty obvious for a while that it's not working? It's great there to hear you talked about, or had Brendan Rodgers talking about continuity there, and he took responsibility for the disjointed performance of Celtic on Sunday. Stephen Naismith has averaged 5 changes every game he's managed Hearts. We not only are we changing the formation, the team, we change the formation every week. So it's been incoherent at best. You've said it there. Blair Spittle can't get a game. Jan Dander can't get a game. You've got Colombian internationalist sitting on the bench watching a left back play right back. You've got Gerard Taylor, who looked absolutely phenomenal versus Rangers. He's a shadow of the player that he is now. Can't score goals, can't defend. Yeah, a mess.
5 changes every week and you still couldn't be one of them the last season. That's bad, isn't it?
I think that's this season, surely.
That's incredible.
That's since he took. That's his time in charge. That's from day one till now.
I know, Liam, but I was trying to get him off the coming for me statement.
You're not getting off the hook. You called us Hearts FC.
That's good research, I have to say. How did this? Because look, Liam, with hindsight, some people say, well, you know, maybe the early signs were there last season, but then others would point out, you can't really grumble at such a strong third place. Has something changed? How are we here? Six weeks after Stephen Naismith signed the new contract.
I think you look at who's went before him. Robbie Nielsen and Barry Robson have fell into the trap and made the same mistake that Stephen Naismith has made, which is secure European football and instantly think the answer for the following season is to get a player for every position, and you bloat the squad. And what we've seen here and what we see every week is that the players that are being asked to go play week in, week out aren't doing it. And then you're turning to the bench and you're asking guys that, like Craig Halkett, like Liam Boyce, like Barry Mackay, who have been out of the squad for 6, 7, 8 months, sometimes longer through injury. Benny can't stay fit. You're asking those guys to come in and make a difference. And that's hard. That's really difficult to do, to get back up to speed. Then you have your talisman who has scored an abundance of goals for Hearts. He should be allowed to have an off day or a bit of a dip in form and the world not crash round about him. Nobody has stood up to the plate to replace Shankland. We don't score goals from set plays. I know I laughed and joked. I think our goal on Saturday was the first goal in about 300 corners, and that's not an exaggeration. That's true.
Seriously?
Direct from a corner from when the ball comes in and somebody headers it, that's about 300. And we've only scored about 4 goals in 3 seasons for corners, because it bugs me how bad we are.
You need to get Austin McPhee back, Liam.
Mate, I know. You watch Arsenal yesterday, they celebrate corners like they're scoring goals.
Because they know they're going to.
Yeah, well, if you do it proper, it's an effective tool. You look at the midfield as well, that's... No one scores from midfield. I think Andy might still be up there as one of the top scorers at the club if he was still there. No one out wide scores goals. Vargas has got 9. I think between all of our midfielders, they have about 5 goals between them. So if Shankland dries up, Hearts don't win. And sadly, that's exactly how it's played out.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Liam, you asked what was the difference between after the Dundee United game and after the St Mirren game. I think, in all honesty, the board wanted Stephen Naismith to be a success. They've invested in Stephen Naismith. They literally invested in Naismith and his backroom team 6 weeks ago with the contract extensions. They were desperate for him to turn it around, but eventually, in a situation like this, the board reached the point of no return, and they give up on him turning it around. I think that's what Andrew McKinley, CEO, said yesterday in the statement. They had no faith that there was, this slump was going to be reversed. And I'll be fascinated to see what they do now. I think they're right to buy themselves a little bit of time. Liam Fox is a very astute coach. He's an experienced coach now for being a young man. He'll take the team for Ross County, for Dynamo Minsk, for Aberdeen. And then in the next international break, I think early in that break, that's when they'll bring somebody in. I'll be fascinated to see who they bring in, what type of character, what type of profile the next head coach is going to be, because Hearts have tried the young guys, Cathro, Naismith. They've tried the old guy in Craig Levein. They've tried the foreign guy in Daniel Stendel. They've tried the club legend, if you like, in Robbie Nielsen a couple of times. But fascinated to see what route the Hearts board go down this time and whether the squad can be turned around by the new manager or whether the squad needs real renovation.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to hear Liam, give some of his points in terms of, quite rightly talking about the number of changes Hearts make game to game, the changes in system, I would argue the changes in style at game to game as well. I'm just looking at some of the names that they've got playing on the bench. And listen, we all talk about how we really want this, strength and depth, we want these two players for every position. But I look at a lot of big, big characters that are sitting on the bench at times, and knowing how difficult that can be in a dressing room when you feel as if you should be in a team every week and you're not getting game time, or you're not coming off the bench, or in the case that Rogers has pointed out, you're not actually even making the squad. And I'm looking at some, for me, and it'll be interesting to get Liam's point on it, because I know he's a Hearts legend, he's fought very, very highly, but Xander Clark just all of a sudden being number two, three, four games into the season after missing one game. I think Craig Gordon's came in and made two, three probably errors for Craig Gordon's standard over the last few games. And I'm not trying to make a big deal out of nothing, but I know what that's like in a dressing room when these big calls are being made and some will agree, some won't agree, and that sort of, I don't want to say toxicity, because I think that, and I know Xander as a person, I know he's not that type of guy, but these things sort of spread through a dressing room. So when you're making that many changes from game to game, I think boys like your launch, they want that best 11 that they feel that they're going into every single game with. So listen, they're dealing with a lot of big characters and it's a big healthy squad. I do think there's players in place that whoever's the next manager to come in, they've got a lot of quality within that to get better, but they must find their best 11 and stick with it.
Liam, what about who's next then? You've seen the usual names. If it was to be anyone who's currently in Scotland, you'd only really be looking at Derek McInnes, maybe for some people Stephen Robinson. John McGlynn's been at Hearts before, but there's this Tony Bloom analytics genius that's about to sweep in with money, and our Hearts fans hoping that can unearth a special manager as well, like Brighton do, or what's the thought?
Well, it depends on what we want. It depends on what we want, because the Bloom stuff sounds really exciting and really good, but the guy, whoever comes in, won't get time. He has to win every week. We can't write the season off and say, right, we're happy just to finish sixth. So a total rebuild takes time. Look at them. Hearts are in a mess right now because pre-season for us was a mess. We only played four games. Naismith wanted to play seven. We were so many weeks in between game time. It was just a total mess. And we are now seeing that on the park. We don't look sharp. We don't look like we understand the system. And we don't look fit. So bringing a new guy in from total left field and asking him to rebuild the squad, bring an identity, change the formation, the style, as Andy just said there, is a really, really big ask. And I don't know, I think Aberdeen did the right thing with their man in the summer. They could have rushed him in to get him in for the bottom six games. He maybe loses one or two of those games, and the feel-good factor of having a new guy, it dies. They waited until the summer, they gave him the full pre-season, and they're reaping the rewards of it.
Who would you go for, Liam?
I would take Derek McInnes now. It's a total no-brainer. I think that he's the best. He's got the best stats of any of the managers in the league outside of the Old Firm. He knows the league. He knows what it needs. And I think he would bring stability. He'd bring a bit of identity to what Hearts are. And I think he'd do a cracking job. Long-term, would he fit into the Tony Bloom
structure, would he work in the Tony Bloom structure? That's a different question. But if you were asking me to go make the decision now, I'd go get Derek McInnes.
You two were extremely late for this break, but quickly, give me a name, or is it the Tony Bloom left field? See what the analytics throws up.
No.
What's the best bet?
Needs to be sensible. Look at his size. You qualified for Europe last season. Kelly, with Derek McInnes,
what's
man who knows the league.
What is more sensible than the way Brighton do their business?
Well,
hardly anything.
Can I just say, this Brighton thing hasn't been voted through. No, you need 90% of the foundation
though,
of Hearts.
Okay, if though.
And I think the foundation of Hearts, if they're sensible, will want to know more of the detail about this. I think it's a leap into the unknown if you allow Star Lizard to suddenly pick the next Hearts manager. I think if Hearts, and listen, Liam clearly agrees, I think what Hearts need is common sense, a clear strategy, and someone who knows the league and knows the best players for the league. That would be Derek McInnes or Stephen Robinson.
Quickly, Andy.
I'd be listening to what Tony Bloom's got to say.
Okay. Thank you to Liam from the This Is My Story podcast. Plenty more time to discuss Hearts if you so wish. Just let me leave you on this bombshell. Who would have thought it? We might need to lay off this guy. He's about to turn his full reputation around in 1 2-second clip. We asked each pundit on this show to give us a big, bold, outlandish prediction for the new season. Way back in August, remember the season Hearts had last season? Here was Hugh Keevans in August.
Hearts will be looking for a new manager by Christmas.
Unbelievable. What a man. Get your calls in, we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. If you'd like to get in touch, please do. Lengthy discussion about the Hearts managerial situation. We can keep going on that if you want. Let's give you the full time teaser. I think very gentle for two men of your intellectual capacity. But we'll see how you get on. Ian says Alex Valle became the 11th Spanish player to play for Celtic or Rangers. Can you name the other 10?
Nacho Novo.
Did you just say easy under your breath?
Oh yeah, we've got shit.
Okay, Roger, one from you.
Mark Rosas.
Mm-hmm. Andy, one from you.
Aaron Niguez.
I see when he goes in for the difficult ones early, that's when you know. And one more for you, Roger.
Juanma Ortiz.
I think they are going to squish these. We'll see how you go. And if you want to send a question in, fulltime@clyde1.com. That is the address that you need. fulltime@clyde1.com. It was good to hear from Liam from This Is My Story podcast before the break. We were talking about managerial appointment at Hearts. G the goalie tweeted in to say Alex Neil will be the next Hearts manager. That one that
I think he's the early favourite.
Pros, cons.
I would have given that, I'm not saying it's not going to happen, I would have given it more credence if Joe Savage had still been there, who's worked with Alex Neil before.
Definitely relationship there. Why don't you see that? You don't see Hearts going for him, or you don't see his salary being in line with what Hearts could do, or you don't think he would want it?
I don't know. Listen, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I know he is the bookie's favourite at the minute. Personally speaking, I think there are others maybe ahead of him. But that's not to say he doesn't get an interview, he doesn't wow everybody in an interview, and he's not the next Hearts manager.
See, because of the size of Hearts, Andy, and you've been there and the expectation, is it a case of the pool of people we've like heard of or are right in our like radar just now is very small? You know, because as we said, if it's not Derek McInnes out of managers who are currently working in Scotland, then it isn't anyone really, is it? I mean, no. The next one down, you'd make a case, Stephen Robinson, maybe John McGlynn, but again, possibly not likely. And then, you know, managers from England, just by almost like a numbers game, do you feel like it could be someone from further afield? Not even to say that that's the way that has to be done, mm-hmm. but I just can't think of many that would be right under your nose here on this one.
No, and listen, I think 3-4 years ago, you did get the sort of same people that were touted for a number of jobs because they were doing well. You know, the Tommy Wrights and, you know, still Stephen Robinson at that point in time. But I think not only for the case you've mentioned, but I think, and I don't think Hearts will admit it as a club, but looking at Aberdeen and looking at Jimmy Terran and looking at that sort of left field appointment for Scandinavia and how well they've started, I would be amazed if it's a a Scottish appointment out with Dent McInnes. I think that's just a non-starter. I can't see it happening at all.
They were very close to Marty Cifuentes before they appointed Stephen Naismith. He subsequently took the QPR job and he's done a decent job at QPR. So clearly, you know, even if you exclude Star Lizard and Tony Bloom, they clearly are connected. They clearly know the foreign market. They clearly have contacts out there that, you know, with up-and-coming continental coaches, you couldn't possibly rule that out. Daniel Stendel was actually a very popular Hearts manager in that period of time. I know he was a manager who took them down in the COVID season with that defeat when they lost 1-0. John O'Beaker scored the goal at St Mirren Park. But he was actually a popular manager, so I don't think that will put Hearts off looking overseas again.
Okay, let's change topic a bit and go back onto the phones. 01419511025. Craig is on. How are you, Craig?
Not too bad.
You're a Falkirk fan, Craig?
Yeah.
Are you feeling encouraged and proud of your team from yesterday, or is it just another defeat?
Or are you feeling patronised, like producer John?
It's just that, like, people weren't giving us a chance to go to Parkhead and, like, score goals. We're the first, like, team to score two goals at Celtic Park, and Brendan Rodgers said they're the best team that's at Celtic played this year. And I just thought as well, the fans as well were, like, amazing yesterday, for the fans, the 2,500 there.
So you take a lot of heart from it then?
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose, you're out the cup, regardless of how you do, you know, within the game. But I wonder if, you know, going forward, because Falkirk are onto something good, clearly in the league this season, is that where it can be beneficial? You don't want to go and get, like, absolutely hammered, and then maybe the confidence takes a dent, and then somehow it can seep into, you know, the league. If you're going to go out to Celtic, was that a way to do it, to make sure that you can keep up your side of the bargain going forward?
Yeah, listen, I think they did very well. I'm sure Craig was not pleased with the final result, but pleased with the performance for 70 minutes. With the best will in the world, Falkirk aren't going to win the League Cup. Fantastic. They had their day beating Hearts to get through and take on Celtic. They'll have made a couple of quid off this cup run, which will help John McGlynn going forward. But the priority for Falkirk, and you don't often say this about a newly promoted team coming into the Championship, the priority of Falkirk is to win the Championship. Five games, five wins in the league. They go to Raith Rovers on Saturday. John McGlynn back at Starks Park. He will be absolutely desperate to win away at Raith Rovers to make it 6 out of 6. And in a Championship that doesn't have a Hearts or a Hibs or a Dundee or a Dundee United or a Kilmarnock or even, you know, a Rangers from 10 years ago, this could be Falkirk's season.
Andy, as a player, is this just a personality thing? Will there be some that go, "That was brilliant, lads. We gave a really good account of ourselves and we should be proud," versus others who shrug their shoulders and say, conceded five and got put out? Or most in one camp or the other?
Yeah. Conceding five and getting put out of the cup, I think, is the result. I think the actual watching it with your eyes and watching the performance, I thought it was a real competitive affair. And I thought in the first half, Falkirk arguably edged the game. Don't get me wrong, they had to defend at times, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I talked earlier about, you know, they've went on this unbeaten run in League One, playing a certain style of football. They've started the Championship campaign in brilliant form, 5 out of 5 in the league. But I was part of a Hearts team under Robbie Nielsen that played an attacking, possession-based style of football, but constantly got criticised for the then approach going to Ibrox and going to Celtic Park, because we felt as if being that bit more defensive minded was our best chance of getting a result. So I think you've got to commend John McGlynn for, you know, maintaining the same approach. And it's not only just the possession, because they're a possession based team, they try to go there at Celtic Park, keep the ball, play through the lines. I thought out of possession, you could see straight away the game plan clear within the first 5 minutes was, you know, to get after Celtic in certain areas of the pitch and press high and try and win the ball high up the pitch. And of course they need to suffer at times, of course Celtic are going to play through you because they're a good team and you've got to have to defend at times, but I thought they looked a constant threat any time they went forward.
We're good for this. We always want to then attach a big sort of statement to it, you know, or a big lesson. And I've seen lots of people saying, you know, well, that is what top flight teams should do. Falkirk have put top flight teams to shame, and, you know, that's the lesson for how you go and lose in the right way. Anything in that, or is that just too easy? Is it too convenient?
Well, listen, it's quite convenient. I've seen a lot. I don't think there's many teams nowadays go to Celtic Park and Ibrox and just try and park the bus. I think there are a few teams now that do go and try and have a go. You know, even you look at Dundee the weekend at Ibrox, they set up, you know, there are a lot of attacking players on that side. You were touching Simon Murray earlier on, Scott Tiffany was there, Lyle Cameron. They don't just sit behind the ball, you know, like I remember teams doing, you know, 10 and 15 years ago. I think more do go, I think, particularly going to Celtic Park, I think a lot of teams now think there's no point sitting in because they're going to, you know.
And then ultimately, you maybe don't plan on it. But Celtic have got the ball the full time, you maybe get pushed back.
Sometimes you just push, yeah, you're force back, Gordon.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you very much to Craig. On your teaser, you two were looking for the 10, did I say? 10 others. Yeah. The 10 other Spaniards who've played for Celtic or Rangers, in addition to Alex Valle, who made his debut, Crosas, Niguez, Ortiz, and Novo. One more each.
Mikel Arteta.
Nice, easy one. Wouldn't have been chuffed with yesterday's end to that game, I'm sure.
Carlos Cuea.
Uh-huh.
John Terrell.
Did you play with him?
Yep.
Three to get, we'll get them next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna. And you can get in touch on that usual number or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Actually getting, not that you need help of course, but players playing along with the teaser at home, I quite like that. Eddie Gray's fired some in, Matthew's fired some in, looking for the 10 other Spaniards apart from Alex Valle, who has played for Celtic or Rangers. Mark Crosas, John Terrell, Mikel Arteta, Sol Niguez, Carlos Cuellar. What is it? Juanma Ortiz, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nacho Novo. Three to get. One each.
Franz Andaza.
Yes.
And as the Dazzler says, there's always a goalie. Javier Sanchez Broto.
I like it. Was he the one that kind of kicked it in the side motion? I'd not described that very well.
He was a guy.
That was like kind of.
I always remember
he played
at Kilmarnock 4 days after the UEFA Cup final in 2003. Rob Douglas got left out controversially by Martin O'Neill, and Broto played at Kilmarnock the day Celtic won 4-0, but Rangers beat Dunfermline 6-1, and Chris Sutton gave his infamous interview about Dunfermline lying down.
Indeed.
I always remember Julian Spironi for that, the side volley.
All right, see, right, I wonder if I'm getting them mixed up. I had Broto down as being like the pioneer of that for Scottish football.
Broto was
maybe
a good
it was
goalie. Great at Livingston.
Potentially. I just remember Julian Spironi for that side volley.
Yeah. Scottish football cynic says Michael Beale for the Hearts job. Anyone?
Or the St Johnson job.
Any takers? No.
I'm not sure.
Can't see it.
I'd be surprised.
You wonder if he's in for it.
Any double CVs going in there, do you think? Is it, who would be the guys that would just apply for both of them?
There'll be plenty.
Loads.
There'll be plenty in the circuit down south. Yep, absolutely there will be.
Good question.
No one up here though, would there?
Can't imagine.
Go for both.
Certainly not Neil Lennon anyway. Can't imagine him applying for the Hearts.
Nah, I think that's one stretch too far.
Yeah.
Can you see him at St Johnson?
I think it'd be a good appointment for St Johnson.
Oh, I agree. I think it'd definitely be a good appointment. Yeah, I think he would. I mean, he did, you know, the red light in your screen's about to go. I think he did a good job. He won plenty at Celtic. He brought Hibernian back up. Yeah, he'd do a good job at St Johnson.
Andy Kirk, you never quite know. It can be an audition, obviously, when an interim takes charge and he's, I was going to say minutes away from a really good winning thing. Well, it's seconds away. The complexity about that though can be, he's part of the Craig Levein era. So
yeah,
does that give him a chance?
If somebody says to you at 5-3, Andy, this, you know, you're going to get a point here at Dingwall. Probably not a bad point that for St John's.
Was it 97 minutes?
Akil Wright, 97 minutes. It was the manner of it. It was just the manner in which they blew that 3-1
lead. I mean, the score to make it 3-1 after 84 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then concede straight away 2 minutes later. I think that's, it's definitely the third or fourth time that St Johnson have conceded in the last 10 minutes this season.
Did it against Motherwell?
Yeah, Motherwell. Moses. They've got an unfortunate habit for them to be conceding late goals recently. But
poor David Freeland as well. Last week, St Mirren 2, Kilmarnock 2, VAR chaos, people getting sent off, people that should have been sent off, mistakes left, right and centre. He had just recovered from that and then Gordon sends him to Ross County 3, St Johnstone 3.
On his wife's birthday.
On his wife's birthday in Dingwall with goals after 84, 87 and 97 minutes.
Get back at 3 in the morning, apparently.
Oh, but anyway. He's certainly got entertainment value.
And he's walked out.
Was he actually?
No.
All right. the St Johnstone one is going to be interesting to watch. There is a hierarchy here of publicity, number of fans, size of clubs. So, you know, the Hearts one, I think a lot of people will be focusing on. Scott has called in and we were going to get him on. Can't get him back, but I can see the names he was suggesting. Weirdly, he did suggest Davy Weir.
For Hearts.
What is he now, the director of football at Brighton,
yeah,
is he?
Yeah, yeah. Very big job. I would think if Tony Bloom's involved, he would probably rate Brighton director of football as a higher, better job than the Hearts head coach, I would think.
Certainly be better paid, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's hard to argue, unless people, I know you football types are weirdos, so just really like the, you know, the day-to-day, 3 o'clock on a Saturday, pressure and criticism. Don't know why you bother, but...
Davies... only stint is having one of their jobs didn't go quite so well. I can't imagine he's got many fond memories of his stint at Sheffield United, so I'd imagine he'd be pretty content with what he's got at Brighton.
Scott threw in Davy Martindale. Is that more of a St Johnstone one?
Well, I mentioned that in the show on Saturday. I know it is a different St Johnstone regime, the last one under Jeff Brown. If you remember, they asked Livingston for permission to speak to Davy and were denied permission to speak to Davy before Craig Levein's appointment.
By Davy.
Well, Davy Martindale wouldn't let them speak to Davy Martindale, you could say. But you wonder if, you know, Adam Webb and the new regime at St Johnstone are maybe falling back on information like that. Wouldn't surprise me if they made a move for Davy. It'd just be interesting to see if Davy would let them speak to Davy this time.
Started okay as well, love you this year.
Yeah, they've done well.
Have they lost yet?
No.
In the league?
No,
I don't think so.
No, they were due to play Falkirk at the weekend, but obviously it was postponed because of the Celtic Cup tie.
Because we did, you know, sometimes when you're a club of St Johnstone size, you would think that the next place to look would be who's doing a good job in the Championship.
Yeah.
I said this on Saturday, I feel like the Scottish football, we just don't do that often. We very often promote from within, from the B team, from the academy, you know, Stephen Naismith, Barry Robson, Stevie Hamill.
St Johnstone have done it plenty of times.
Much done it almost all the time and, over the last generation.
I think an obvious one. Last season, if we were in the same position, we'd be Rhys McCabe. But they haven't exactly, I think, at the bottom, currently bottom of the Championship, not started the season well. But, you know, what he's done at Airdrie over the last couple of seasons has been very, very impressive, especially with the budget they've got. But timing wise, maybe not so great for Rhys.
Like what the weekend did, even a 5-2 defeat that was so impressive, by my reckoning, last week, we heard one or two people saying, John McGlynn for St Johnstone, he's become John McGlynn for Hearts. Over the weekend, because of the you know what's of going toe to toe with Celtic in a 5-2 defeat.
Can I just say to you, there are a lot of things that would recommend John McGlynn for the Hearts job, not least his previous work when he was a Hearts manager.
He's also, by all accounts, quite different from then as a result of having worked under Brendan Rodgers, isn't he? We'd called Donaldson on Friday night. Yeah. He came on the show and was brilliant, spoke really well, and said that, you know, that outlook that John McGlynn has, a lot of it came from working with Brendan Rodgers at Celtic in the first spell.
Yeah. Listen, I think he ticks a lot of boxes. I always think, although I think it would be a right good appointment, that will Hearts fans be happy with that?
But we just do, whether it's him or not, but we fall into this trap of thinking that if you're over a certain age, that automatically means you play a certain way, and if you're under a certain age, you may play a different way. So John McGlynn would be like the best destroyer of that lazy generalisation, wouldn't he?
I think he'd be a really good appointment, but I just don't see it happening.
No, I'm the same.
Well, I suppose they'll take their time, Hearts, won't they, anyway?
Yeah,
the next international break.
Yeah, I would think so. The start of October, Liam Fox will be a safe pair of hands. Ross County at home at the weekend, the trip to Azerbaijan to take on Dinamo Minsk, and then the biggest of them all is back on that Sunday, Aberdeen at Pittodrie. Aberdeen already 14 points clear of Hearts. If, you know, you could almost write Hearts off from catching them if they were to lose at Pittodrie.
Big week ahead then. What are you looking forward to? What's jumping out at you? Rangers obviously starting in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting fixture. Obviously, a team they played not so long ago in the Champions League qualifier, but wasn't very fond memories. I think it's silly to say it's a must win so early in the campaign, but I think when you look at the fixtures that Rangers have got, especially away from home, I think this Malmo one, I'd almost go as far as saying it's a must not lose. I feel as if they need to get a positive result with some very, very tough ties ahead. But listen, I hate saying this because I've said it before and I say it every year that Rangers have beat better sides in Europe, but it's a different Rangers side, a different Rangers manager. So it will be a stern test for them on Thursday, but I'm confident they'll get at least a draw.
Never beaten Malmo. Four times we've met, never beaten them. Three defeats and a draw.
Lee Wallace, and we just spoke about the interim charge at Hearts. I'm sure his debut was Malmo for Rangers in Europe.
First time round, yeah. In 2011. And then 2021 when Antonio Čolak scored the two goals.
Double, yeah.
Yep, going to be a big week for sure. Let's see if we can round off your teaser in any sort of style. I think you will, because you've absolutely scooshed it up until this point. Let me thank Ian for sending it in. And a reminder, as always, it's full time at Clyde1.com to send your questions in to us, and please do. Alex Valle became the 11th Spanish player to play for Celtic or Rangers. Can you name the other 10? Mark Rosas, John Terral, Mikel Arteta, Javier Sanchez Broto, Aaron Niguez, Carlos Cuellar, Juanma Ortiz, Franson Daza, Nacho Novo. Easy one to finish, tap in.
Broto's pal, David Fernandez.
David Fernandez, didn't even get any wrong. How good was that? Thank you, Andy Halliday. Thank you, Roger Hanna. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? Will we get developments on Hearts' managerial search, or St Johnstone's for that matter? We will be one day closer to Rangers going back into Europe. I know what we should do tomorrow. Andy Halliday's favourite. I think we should get a Swedish expert on.
Oh, love it.
Oh,
favourite guy.
From IKEA Brayhead. I'll find one for you tomorrow. Make sure you're listening, Andy Halliday. Thank you for all your calls and tweets and listening tonight. We will be back at 6 tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.